to Stu Peters. This is God's platform, and all glory be to God Almighty. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. I'm Paul Harrell, filling in for Stu. So since the fall of Adam, mankind has been embroiled in a cosmic war. Good versus evil, light versus dark, life versus death. Today, the left in this country and the globalists across the world are obsessed with death. They want to continue the demonic sacrifice of babies that they call healthcare. However, they themselves want to avoid death at all costs. That's one of the reasons many of these esoteric elites are obsessed with transhumanism. They want to be God and live forever, but they will fail. One thing is certain, the forces of evil have no problem seeing Christians die because Christians love God and evil people and entities hate God. I know I'm stating the obvious here, but death cultists hate God and want to destroy humanity. We see this in the biblical accounts of the enemy trying to murder Moses to thwart God's perfect Exodus plan. We see the same when Herod ordered the genocide in an attempt to murder Christ as a baby. Fast forward to today, and the evil powers that be are pushing a genocidal weapon we're told is good for us. And once again, they call it health care. They're also perverting the lines of gender as they rob young boys and young girls from ever having the chance of becoming mothers and fathers, leading a normal life and glorifying God as a family unit the way he intended. No, the forces of evil, both flesh and non-corporeal, want to make young people into real-life walking versions of the Baphomet statue, head of the goat and all. Our national leaders and politicians have, with very few exceptions, succumbed to this pure evil. They verbally condone it or heartily approve of it with their deafening silence. And it's not just the globo-homo worldwide agenda that is targeting humanity and Christians. What is one of Satan's best ways to depopulate the earth and populate hell? Well, with bloody, deadly wars, of course. Politicians like Lindsey Graham are calling for the execution of world leaders like Putin, an assassination that, if it were to occur, would drag us into World War III. And they don't seem to care how many American kids would have to die to defend their systems. They're so drunk on power and desperate to maintain it, they will start a war and read about their unprosecuted crimes in a plush, assisted living facility a long, long time from now. At least that's what they think. Speaking of unprosecuted crimes, excess deaths have reached unprecedented highs since the lockdowns and jab rollouts, and politicians were warned that if they locked our country down, there would be mass destruction, yet they still did it anyway. It was by design. All of the lies, intentional, by design. And they aren't sorry for it either. They are an unapologetic death cult operating in darkness completely against Christ. And here's the thing. They can be obsessed with death all they like, because the truth is, Christ conquered death. He conquered the ultimate physical barrier in this place and brings new life to those who repent and believe. Our God brings life. They bring death. And knowing this means there is no hill we cannot attempt to take, and take it with confidence, with the comfort that God is in control and on our side. Pastor Mark Burns is a minister and pastor of the Harvest Praise and Worship Center in South Carolina. He's a former Republican candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives, and was one of the earliest supporters of President Donald Trump in 2016, and he joins us now. Pastor Mark Burns, welcome to the Stu Peters Show, sir.
So happy to be here again. Always happy to be back here with Stu.
Well, so talk to us about this. I mean, am I wrong here? Am I way off base here?
No, not at all. I mean, you're really hitting it on the nail. I mean, the fact is that the evil liberal left has every bit of their policy concerning transgenderism been pushed onto our little children, been pushed into the ideals or the ideologies of our of the public school systems. Now you're looking at the furries and their desire to say you can be whatever you want to be. Furries or people who say they're now animals, and they're pushing this evil ideology onto the minds of our little children. Grown men participating in female sports, grown men men professing to be women are now being housed in female prison institutes while impregnating real women in the prison systems, like in California. All of this, the fact that they're calling for four-term abortions in many of the states, like New York and California and in Vermont, like the states that are saying that it's okay to murder, millions of unborn babies. All of this is connected to the fact that the evil liberal left do not believe in God. They ultimately do not believe in God. This is why the majority of atheists and agnostics in America identify themselves as a Democrat, because for them, if they can remove God, the presence of God in their minds and in their ideologies, in their belief systems, then it's okay to do all those, to participate in all those laws or introduce all of those policies that are contrary to the word of God. They most definitely want Christians dead. They most definitely want to silence our voices in the mainstream media. All of it is because we believe in the one true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God through the lineage of Abraham came the Messiah, Jesus our Lord. And it's because of his death, we now have a right relationship with the Father. We can go directly to him. So yes, any policies that are coming from the evil left, especially the ones dealing with family, traditional family. This is why I love President Trump. He's one of the few bold people who are out there saying, I will not allow grown men, even though they call themselves a woman and they're not a woman, right? You don't have a uterus, right? You don't have female parts. You would never be a woman. Those grown men will never be able to participate in real female sports. And this is why I know we got to make sure this guy's the next president.
Yeah, and on that, I mean, obviously the left is getting more and more depraved. As a society, you know, as a whole, the slippery slope is real, and things are getting, yes, you know, worse and worse and worse. And obviously President Trump running for re-election here, and the elections are a whole nother bag of worms because of how untrustworthy they are. But yeah, President Trump certainly needs the Christians in this country to vote for him, correct?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I can't go into details, but I can tell you I'm right there at the center of those plans and policies. We have some magnificent things planned. As my friend Alex Rountree said, and I've been quoting him all over the country, that you cannot have an American, you cannot make America great again until you have an American revival. There's revival that's breaking out throughout the nation. Christians and evangelical Christians make up the largest voting bloc within the Republican Party. I mean, this is why you see polls that are coming out now that has President Trump at 48%, DeSantis down at 23% to 25%, and everybody else in the single digits, right? That is clear that if the nomination vote was held today, Donald Trump would be the Republican nomination. And now we're seeing greater polls are coming out that shows President Trump beating Joe Biden. Christians understand what Trump did for us in 2016 and what Trump would do for us again in 2024. And so, yes, we have strong plans in place to make sure that we're communicating to my people, which are God's people, the Christian church.
And the proof is in the pudding from his first term on abortion alone, on Dobbs and Roe versus Wade getting overturned and the Supreme Court justices. I mean, that's just an indisputable fact. That's fruit. That's good fruit. Where there's now less abortions, less babies being murdered. But you mentioned something that I feel like is very interesting, that conservative Christians are the largest Republican voting bloc in the Republican Party. But the Republican Party doesn't seem to treat us that way. I mean, they've got Paul Ryan and Fox News that put Caitlyn Jenner or Bruce Jenner on television, like he's going to give us the news. Like we need to be getting our news, from Bruce Jenner. Why is that? Why does it feel like the Republican Party disdains Christians sometimes?
Well, partly it's because Christians are too quiet, too silent. We forget our power that we have in this country. We forget how loud our voices are. We have to stop being the silent majority. We got to be just as loud, just as even aggressive. We've got to take the whip that Jesus took when he went inside and start whipping the tables, flipping over tables and whipping those merchants out of the house of God. He didn't go in there kind and nice and sweet and trying to negotiate with those. They were enemies of the house of God. They were prostituting the house of God. And right now, Christians are being used as prostitutes by all parties because we're not really getting what we want and what we deserve, especially when it comes to the school boards and our school system. If we are the majority in America, then why in the world is transgenderism being pushed? Why is it Florida one of the few states? And let me make a quick note. Remember, Florida, just so you know, for those that are watching, and some of you may disagree, but Florida is the house that Trump built. I'm going to get that out there, right? So, you know, DeSantis would be a great, he's a great governor. And, you know, he has a great future down the road. But he is the success that he's having is because Florida is the house that Trump built. Right. He would not be. He would be another Jeb Bush if it wasn't for Trump.
Well, he might, in fact, be. I mean, Jeb Bush is supporting DeSantis. So that's a huge red flag.
Yes, people have a right to ask that question. People have a right to ask that question, but I'm not here to litigate that. The point is, Florida shouldn't be the only state that pulling these transgender policies out of our school books, right? Why in South Carolina here? We're still an abortion state, but yet we're a very red state with the supermajority of Republicans in our state legislature. Why is this happening? I don't know Fritz, if he's watching this, I know he's helping lead in that fight, but why is that happening in South Carolina and in other Republican states across the nation, right? Because Christians are showing up voting for Republicans in name only and not voting for true believers who fear God, who honor God, not for some political clout, but they honor and fear God, and they will do whatever it takes, no matter what corporate pressures that come down from them or no matter what federal pressures that come down from them. No, they know that for God I live and for God I die. That's why I serve the people that I'm called to serve. And unfortunately, Christians are silent. They're not active, right? And they only react to things that happen in America instead of being active, like transgenders. They're very active. Right. Gay people, they're very active.
Yep.
Right. And let me be clear, because this is America. You have a right, a constitutional right to be where you want to be. But don't force it on the church. Don't force it on our children. Mm-hmm. Don't force it. Your ID. Don't try to get me to go against every biological book that exists and that's known to man. That says if you have certain chromosomes, if you have certain genitals, you are a particular sex. Don't try to get me to say you are a female or that you are male when in actuality you're female.
Do you think some Christians are maybe even a little brainwashed and don't even know it? Maybe they've accepted some presuppositions that are just false. One of them, you mentioned atheism earlier, but I think it goes right on the slippery slope to LGBT. Atheism for the long time was promoted as a neutral worldview. Christianity, not neutral. You're pushing your religion on me. Atheism, oh, it's somehow science and it's neutral. And that's what's going on now with the LGBT people. It's almost as if they claim that they don't have a worldview that is affecting us in a negative way. And I think once Christians can kind of shake out of that brain fog and realize, no, neutrality is a myth. And if you think that there's such thing as neutrality, you're missing the whole spiritual battle here.
100%. I mean, the reality of it is, you know, listen, let me be very clear. I don't have it because the media will take this interview and they will say, I hate gay people. I hate transgenders. That's not the case. I'm a pastor of the Lord Jesus Christ. God loves the transgender. God loves the LGBT. I got members of my own family who I love dear that proclaim to be part of this community, that they were not raised that way, but that's what they have, you know, because of the evil of this world, that's what they've been persuaded to become. They surely wasn't born that way, I can tell you that. But the reality of it is, God loves them. God loves the alcoholic. God loves those that are rejecting him. The challenge that I think most people are having, and this is where Christians got to get to, and I think we're starting to get there, is that, you know, you can say that you, and I'm talking specifically to the transgender, you can say I'm a female, right? You could believe that for yourself, all right? That's your right to do so, you know, but you cannot make other people who don't think that way, especially from a biblical point of view, to agree with you. And the problem is they take offense to that. They take offense to that. They now come after the churches. They're coming after the pastors. They're coming after our belief systems. Even Joy Behar on her show, The View, and I pray that she gets saved, and I pray that maybe she'll have a miracle to come to Jesus. But the reality of it is she made it very clear that that part of the Bible that talks against gays, y'all should not teach that. She said this.
Yeah, the Bible's going to be hate speech soon. They're going to label it hate speech.
Exactly. Well, you know, it is in a lot of ways, it already is hate speech. You can't really say anything on TikTok or social media or Twitter without them flagging as inappropriate or against their standards. Right. So they're telling us what parts of the Bible we can preach. This is what baffles me. And there's so many pastors who are sitting back and they're standing there cute. They're cute churches and they're just preaching to their own congregation, not talking about political matters, not realizing that if you lose your country, you will lose your church, that God has called us to preach to the whole man, right? And that includes their political views, right? You don't got to tell people who to vote for, but by darn it, open your mouth up and talk about the evil that has been pushed onto our public school systems, the queer gender books that have been pushed into our public libraries, but yet they're blocking the Christian library books from coming in. Start recognizing that these things are happening in your own backyard and quit acting as though that you're going to be safe in the sanctuary of your church, that they're not coming inside your church. They absolutely are coming inside your church. And I'm not trying to preach doom and gloom because in the end, we still win. Jesus is still on the throne. He is coming back. There is going to be a rapture. There is a voice called the Holy Spirit. We are protected. We have a shield of protection that happened to Job in Job 1:1. God is still on our side. And so, so we're not done. The point is I don't think we've suffered enough in the church. And that's the scary thing about it, my friend. I don't think we've suffered enough. And until, as you said, until the church really, when they start realizing that they're coming after our churches, when they're silencing you, when they're preventing you from praying in public, it may be too late by that point. We got to fight now.
Yeah, absolutely. Pastor Mark Burns, it's always great to talk to you, and let's do it again soon, okay?
Absolutely. God bless you, my friend.
Yes, sir. All right, folks, the Stu Peters Show coming back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Taxation is theft, especially when your money is used to fund evil.
Wear a mask. Get boosted.
Corona hoax. Mass deception. America controlled by fear. Good news. There's another way. You can stop paying for the crimes and cover-up today through Freedom Law School.
The best thing you can do, according to the IRS's own official auditors, is to stop filing and paying income taxes.
Based on the government's official websites, there is no law requiring 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax. See the proof for yourself on freedomlawschool.org. Don't wait to drain the DC swamp. Start your journey to freedom from IRS deception, robbery, and slavery. Starve out the problem. Weaponize your earnings. Defund the swamp and fund the truth and freedom movement today. Go to livefreenow.org and restore the freedom we all miss. Are you getting sick all the time? The bioweapon boosted are breaking our immune systems. Chemtrails fill the skies. Don't fear the shedpocalypse. Destroy impurities. Protect your children with the future of air purification. Trustfiltersuck.com.
Watch how quickly our machine pulls out dust, shedding, quantum dots, mold, bacteria, viruses, anything that grandma might have brought over from Boosterville, California, we drop it down to the ground as a biologically inert substance.
Sleep easy with 24/7 protection. Get a unit for your home or the portable device to shield your kids at school. Use promo code STU for huge discounts. Filtersuck.com, your antidote against poison in the air.
Protect yourself from the psychopath lizard things that want to take your kids and touch them and groom them and molest them and traffic them. The psychopaths who want you to inject yourself with a deadly bioweapon, and then they want to incapacitate you by taking all of your food away by the food supply shortage, and then come for your money and your guns. Protect your money with gold and silver from Goldco. The imminent great financial reset that resets the electronic banking system to zero, it's going to happen. It's the only way that they can have ultimate control. But if you have gold and silver, guess what? You're set. Don't be a victim. Call Gold Co. today, 855-706-GOLD, 855-706-GOLD. Also, if you mention Stu Peters when you call Gold Co., $10,000, up to $10,000 in free silver with a qualified account. Call him today, 855-706-GOLD. More of the Stu Peters Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Stu Peters Show. I'm Paul Harrell, filling in for Stu. So, one of the most effective tools that aids in the rise of totalitarianism is censorship. And over the last 3 years, we've witnessed censorship to a degree many thought impossible here in America, and yet here we are. One of the main reasons censorship is such a useful tool for aspiring tyrants is that it promotes groupthink and makes people afraid to state the obvious or even believe their own eyes. Fundamentally, censorship is an attack on the freedom of speech. But deeper than that, it's an attack on individualism. You see, individualism is most definitely a threat to governments or corporate fascists who want to control societies based on collectivism. The collective or the individual? Now, Marxism answers this question by shouting collectivism and then putting everyone into camps. But before COVID lockdowns and big tech censorship, the attack on individualism really started with our one-size-fits-all public education system. Whether it's so-called magnet schools designed to get elementary children to decide what they want to do as a career for the rest of their lives in the first grade, or dumbed-down curriculum that teaches compliance instead of critical thinking, school-aged children have been and are currently educated like identical cogs in a machine. The young, woke adults of today, rotten fruit and all, are the products of an educational system that has its roots in Soviet planning and communism. The modern-day school system is destroying individualism and creativity in children, some of the most important aspects to a child's development as a person, as an individual. With the world becoming an increasingly difficult place to navigate, children are left with few outlets to express themselves in a way that's beneficial to their growth. Author Chad Stewart joins us to share his personal testimony, his book series, and how to inspire the next generation. Chad Stewart, welcome to the Stu Peters Show. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So go ahead and first of all, let's talk about your very successful books. They're children's books or young adult books. It's the Britfield series. I believe there's three books out. Correct me if I'm wrong. The Lost Crown, The Rise of the Lion, The Return of the Prince. These are really successful books. They're being compared to something like C.S. Lewis's Narnia Chronicles.
Yes, correct. It all started. I'm actually originally from Newport Beach, California. I was back east in Wellesley, Massachusetts for about 16 years. This whole thing started about 12 years ago when I had an idea. I was actually an investment banker working for Morgan Stanley, if you can imagine. And I got the idea for Britfield Lost Crown. Part of it was I was dying to do something fun and creative. And I've been writing sort of nonfiction books and statistics and business and all that kind of stuff. And I needed to break out. And so that's where it all started. I was down at a boring seminar in Providence, Rhode Island over the weekend that I had to go to. I think it was insurance, and I started to drift and I started to doodle. And that's when I came up with the idea for Britfield and Lost Crown. And it just kind of sparked me. It was about two orphans, Tom and Sarah, takes place in real time, England, up in Yorkshire at this horrible orphanage, Weatherly Orphanage. And Tom's been there for 6 years, and this is year he's going to break out with his best friend, Sarah. Somewhere along the line, they commandeer a hot air balloon, but they're relentlessly chased by the illustrious Detective Gowerstone. So that was kind of the gist. I sat down literally on just one piece of paper. I started to outline where I thought the story should go. Starts up in Yorkshire, Oxford, Windsor, London, and finally to the Canterbury. Mm. And then I sat down, and it took me 4 years and 2,500 hours to produce book one. Now, at the time, yes, yeah, a lot of time.
Wow, that's and, a lot.
I was only thinking one book. I wasn't thinking like a series. And then by the time I finished book one, I thought, gosh, I really have got a series here. And it escalated from three to five to now a seven-book series. What's fun about these books, if you don't mind, real quick, just as an overview. Number one, I think they're really important because we're talking about creativity. We're talking about education. We're talking about engaging children, their imagination, their creativity, their skills, their critical thinking. And so, number one, all the books are anchored in real time, which I think is really important. So it takes place in present time, if you will, England, book one. All the geography is real. We incorporate geography, history, culture, architecture, literature. So as a child is reading it, they're if you will, consciously, subconsciously learning all these. We've got maps at the beginning of the book. And the books, because they're based in reality and they have no witchcraft or magic or demigods, the kids are actually like facing real problems and they're solving them. They're discussing them. They're talking them. So we're hitting critical thinking. We're hitting creativity. We're hitting communication. And we're also hitting collaboration. And so that's really kind of the bedrock of this series. It's fast-paced adventure series. They read like movies. 90% of the feedback is that it reads like a movie. And we've done deep research. We've tested these. I piloted the book with a third draft before we launched book one with over 200 students, right? So I went right to the direct source. I got their feedback. And that's been a model since then. And the books basically go around the world. Book one is in England. Book two is in France. Book three is in Italy, which we just launched in September. I'm working now on book four, which is Eastern Europe and Russia. Book five is Asia. Book six is South America. And book seven is the United States. And they grow by 1 year in every book. And so they start at 12 and they end up at 18. So they start as juvenile. I think book two is really a bridge into young adult. Book three is our young adult type of book. Our youngest reader is 7, our oldest reader is 93, and 55% of our reading audience globally are from adults. So
you mentioned it's grounded in reality. I can't help yes. but ask about this. And you said no magic. So that is a shot at Harry Potter, right? That's a clear shot at Harry Potter.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, in many ways, we're outselling and outflanking Harry Potter in the same time period. We will outsell Harry Potter in 10 years. And that's wow. a statement that I've made many times.
Well, you've based got a movie, on that. These are movies as well. These are going to be made into feature films.
Yeah. I was going to share with your audience. Uh-oh, where did I put it? I had it. Well, actually, we have our first movie draft that I got. I took it in the other room, actually. Just Friday, a couple days ago, I received the first draft of the feature-length movie. So that's been in development for 18 months. We should be in pre-production by fall. If all goes well, production next year, in spring, potentially England. We definitely want to film a lot in England. And if everything goes well, we'll be launching Christmas time 2024. Wow. So it'll be 7 books, 7 major motion pictures. We predict that the movie will be one of the highest grossing films in cinematic history, a Titanic type of moment, and rivaling the original Star Wars and E.T. And again, it's just based, it's based on the story. It's based on the feedback. It's based on an 80% gap in the entire world, nationally and worldwide, of redeeming real life stories, you know, family-based stories without all their agenda, without all their nonsense, without all their crap. And I'll be honest, parents and kids and teachers and librarians, they're sick of it. They're sick of it. And I know there's always this flashover substance sort of mainstream media, and it seems like we're a divided nation, and it's 50-50, all lies, all false. So many parents just want a good book, a wholesome book, a book that the kids will not only read and enjoy, but learn from it. You know, and so it's like, can you imagine a kid, you know, reading or child reading this book and actually loving the story? I've had 12-year-olds that have read the 400 pages in 5 hours. We've had a huge impact on literacy. Kids that never read or have finished a book are reading Britfield and finishing it in 2 to 3 days. And a lot of that's, by the way, it's designed and written very fast. But they're learning. They're learning a little bit about history.
I
mean, I talked
to a producer here at the Stu Peter Show before doing this interview, and I, you know, mentioned these books, and he said he's got a 9-year-old, you know, that read this in 2 days. Read the first book in 2 days. So,
9-year-old.
This is a big deal. Let me ask you this, because it is being compared to other children's books like Narnia. Is it allegorical at all?
I think in many ways, yeah. I mean, the main foundation is that it's based in family. So the threads or the themes is family, friendship, loyalty, and courage. But family is the theme that runs all the way through it. You know, the meaning of family, the importance of family, friendship, things like that. There's a lot of different layers to it, quite frankly. We've designed an 83-page study guide specifically for schools, elementary and middle schools, so it can be taught in the classroom. We have Britfield and Lost Crown right now being taught in schools across the nation, which is exciting. It's like a two-month course, 83 pages, because you can sit there and spend 2 or 3 weeks just on the first couple of chapters. It's very thick and it's very layered. And it's not like a simple read, you know, with like, you know, 14 font and one sentences. It's just the way that I wrote it and designed it. And I'm very articulate with the writing. Part of it is my background is as a screenwriter. And so it's based on the three-act structure. And on my last, just to give you an idea, on my last draft, when I'm doing my final edit, and I'll comb through it maybe 6 or 7 times, I try to remove at least one sentence per page. So like what doesn't need to be there? What line can I get rid of? Can I take 2 sentences and put it into one? And that's why you're getting 8, 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds that are just reading it and can't put it down. And it's fast paced. I don't get overly descriptive. I think too many authors are trying to be poets. You know what I mean? You get these paragraphs of flowery language, and I'm like, what does that have to do with the story? You know, so it's funny because they say it's very descriptive, but I think it's very vivid.
Yeah.
And like I said, 90% of the people that have read it said it reads like a movie.
I'm just relieved that there are creative, like, you know, having the background as a screenwriter, these successful books, that there are, you know, creative minds who are doing things that are normal, who are creating good works of art that are normal, that aren't debauched, that don't have this, you know, sick agenda. And it's refreshing for me to talk to you. I just have to say, it's so encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's been since our launch. It was 10 years in the works. So, you know, I mean, we kicked off in 2019 when the book was launched, August 2019. We kicked off a national school tour. I drove 9,000 miles. I visited 23 states, over 200 schools, and presented in front of more than 40,000 students. So, a lot of what I'm saying is like it was boots on the ground. You know, I'd come into, I was at one of the top private schools in LA with over 400 students. I was at a small little Christian school in Missoula in a snowstorm in a room. I've been in a library. I've been in a big auditorium. I've had 200-300 kids, private, public, Catholic, Christian, charter, homeschool. So I've seen it all. I've done it all. I've connected with the librarians, the teachers. I love the book signing. Sometimes I'm there for an hour and a half, 80-100 kids in line. And I'm just sitting there marveling to myself because it's just like, I mean, we saw about one out of two books for like every 100 students. So we sell about 40 or 50 books. And that's assuming that one out of two kids even want to read or care reading. And so it's been amazing. The feedback from the kids has been amazing. And so we know it. I mean, we have feedback that comes in all the time from across the nation and even globally. But I thank you for that. But I say that because it's, you know, it's 10 years of hard work, 10 years of dedication, 10 years of focus and vision, 10 years of rejection, failure, doubt, depression, you know, but I just stuck with it. I saw it and I believed in it. And I share that same message when I'm in front of, you know, 200 fourth through eighth graders. That's the message I share. I'm not there as Tony Robbins saying, hey, you can do anything you put your mind to. I talk about having an idea for this book and that it took me 10 years, you know, to finally launch it. And I say that every overnight success takes between 1 to 2 decades. And the difference between a hobby and a profession is about 8,000 to 10,000 hours. And I tell that to 10, 11 year olds, and they get it. And the reason why I can sit there for 45, 50 minutes speaking, and we have a really nice presentation. We have some fun clips and pictures, and we talk a little bit about Britfield, and then we talk about creativity, storytelling, the importance of storytelling. I keep them spellbound, if you will, for like 45, 50 minutes. You could hear a pin drop, because the thing is I'm not in there trying to sell them anything. I'm in there honest because I want to be there and I care about them. And I think they're all individually unique. I think they're all gifted. I think they all have talent and creativity, which is true. And I think the schools have been sort of crushing that and really teaching kids out of creativity. Yes. And so we're trying to put creativity back into the classroom.
Yes. You know, creativity is unpredictable, and they want to be able to predict the results. That's what everybody's obsessed with right
yes.
now. Tell us about Britfield Institute. The Britfield Institute, because this is kind of an offshoot of these great children's books.
Yeah, so it was started in 2019 also, and officially like kind of launched in 2020. It's our sort of nonprofit. And the only reason I did the nonprofit aspect is I sort of had to for that particular thing. It's basically completely funded by me and by the entire Britfield series. Our focus is really on Title I schools. And I think it's about 23,000 to 30,000 Title I schools in the United States. And it technically just means that they're deprived of certain resources and things like that. So we really want to focus on them. We do creative workshops. We'll do a writing workshop. We can do a writing workshop like in an hour. We can do a 5-hour writing workshop. I've already done some of these workshops. It's mostly online because I can't like fly out to Indiana. So we'll do a virtual workshop. We'll do creativity workshops. We'll do an entrepreneurial workshop. We give them resources, free resources. We give them free books. And that's my passion. And it's amazing. I heard some statistics of like in the United States, like how many children, I think it's like 1 out of 50 actually own a book or something to that, like 1 out of 25 actually own their own book. And so to get a signed book from an award-winning best-selling author, in fact, I didn't mention it, but Britfield and Lost Crown is one of the most awarded books in children's fiction, which was amazing. So we won like Parents' Choice Gold Medal, Mom's Choice Gold Medal, Literary Classic. We won a British award too, which I thought was pretty cool. So that's the Institute. Yeah, because it's like, you know, I wasn't expecting, but we didn't get a gold, but I think we got like a silver or something. But no, that's kind of my passion. My passion's always been education, really providing children with the resources, especially around that age, 8 to 10 to 12. It's such a critical age, and they're amazing. And you'd ask me, you know, I've been at some of the top private schools in the United States and some of the worst Title I schools, like, you know, things come to mind like San Francisco, or we did 4 back-to-back Title I schools in Dallas. And all the kids were amazing. That's what I found. You know what I mean? Like, how different are they? Are they smart? Are they not smart? Like, kids are kids, especially at that age. They're born. They have all these abilities. It's just what you do with those, giving them the resources and the opportunities. And those are the two key things. It's not genetics. That's bunk. It's not using 10% of your brain. That's bunk science. You know, kids are created in the image of God, and it's amazing. And they're all born with creativity, but we often don't find that creativity, or we don't have that opportunity. I was lucky, because I had opportunities, everything from building blocks, right? And I eventually became an architect and a developer, you know? So from those building blocks, that put me through undergraduate and graduate school to writing, so.
Wow. We really appreciate it, Chad Stewart. Thank you so much for coming on the Stu Peters Show. We need to do it again sometime. And again, thank you for the work that you're doing.
I appreciate it. Yeah, there's so much to talk about. And one thing is we've launched just last week, we launched the Britfield and Lost Crown theatrical play designed specifically for elementary middle schools. And we piloted it last October. It's a great success. So what we did is we took this and put it into a theater play, an actor's play for 30 plus students.
Wow.
And we're now rolling it out across the nation because we want to also bring that into the schools. So, but thank you. Thank you so much for your time.
The first book, which is where you're going to want to start, is Britfield in the Lost Crown. We Correct. Really appreciate it, Chad Stewart. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you. Privilege.
All right. The Stu Peters Show is coming back here in just a moment.
For healthcare you can trust, go to heroicdoctors.com and connect with the trusted and unbiased doctors of the Wellness Company. This is the future of medical care. Access to top-flight healthcare from anywhere by visiting heroicdoctors.com and the Wellness Company. You get uncensored content, virtual appointments with trusted medical professionals, doctors who aren't scared to follow protocols that keep you healthy, a real pharmacy that will fill your prescriptions, exclusive treatment packages, vaccine exemption letters, world-class supplements, healthcare products, and so much more. The last few years have proven just how broken our healthcare system is. Access to real medicine shouldn't be dictated by who you know or where you live. Break the power of Big Pharma and keep you and your family safe. Go to heroicdoctors.com and join today.
While everybody around you seems to be getting dumber and dumber by the day, easily distracted by the bought and paid for media that is compensated to distract them, looking at all of the shiny objects and UFOs and China spy balloons, you could be getting smarter. You could be doing better. You could be busting through those distractions and performing at your cognitive best. Go to nootopia.com/stew. Again, nootopia.com/stew. Nootropics brain supplements, 100% legal, totally natural, 100% safe, non-addictive. They actually make you smarter, process information better, be more driven, be more creative, be more focused. Nootopia.com/stew. Again, nootopia.com/stew.
The Stu Peters Network is brought to you in part by DarkAgeDefense.com. One day we could be at war. Missile silos activated. Drone swarms blotting out the sun. Cyber attacks destroying the power grid. Don't wait until lights out to prepare for the day after. Dark Age Defense will arm you to protect your family. Food, water, power, survival. DarkAgeDefense.com/Stu has you covered. Don't wait. Visit DarkAgeDefense.com/Stu.
Welcome back to the Stu Peters Show. So I have with me Kirsten. She is one of Stu's executive producers on the Stu Peters Network, and she was submitted a Pfizer confidential document from a former Pfizer employee. Now, we're going to go through a little bit of this document. You will be able to find the full document link below to go through it yourself. Like I said, we can't reveal our source, and they couldn't come on and talk about it themselves. However, they gave the document to us. Now, what this document is it's an amendment it's an amendment to, okay, Kirsten yes. studied this, so I'm going to let her go into yes. exactly what it is because it's complicated and I don't understand. This is also a call to action for anybody who can read this and understand exactly what it means. What we do find is that they were starting human trials for vaccine testing. It proves that this was well-planned, and they had been working on this long before the COVID virus was released on the world. Now, Kirsten, what is this document? What am I looking at here?
Yeah, so it is a bit complicated, as a lot of things are, but it's a July 2020 amendment to a document that was originally drafted in December 2019. And if we all know, December 2019, they were talking about COVID as if it was a theory. They didn't know what it was yet, according to them. But by this point, they were already preparing for human trials. And this is, you know, just more proof that they knew what was happening. They knew that it was a bioweapon. They orchestrated this.
Right. So it shows here that in this document, you can see the date 2019 right there at the bottom. 2019, they were already starting three mRNA vaccines trials. So they had started trials and planned for these trials all the way back in December 2019. Now, if you all remember, this was actually when we first started hearing about the COVID-19 virus. So it goes, I remember that year because I remember it was Christmas. It was kind of normal. And then everything changed come January. And that's when the lockdown started. That's when things started getting really, really bad for our country and the world. But what they did, as soon as it appears here that they were testing three different mRNA vaccines. I don't even like calling them vaccines. mRNA is gene editing technology. However, they were testing three different ones, and that's the thing. How could they have known? How could they have known back then that they were going to need a vaccine? So it says rationale, a pneumonia of unknown cause detected in Wuhan, China, was first reported in December 2019. So even back then, they were saying that this was from Wuhan. You know, we hear now that they're just confirming this. Remember, a lot of people got censored, silenced, shut down for saying that it happened. It came out of a lab in Wuhan, China. Well, these Pfizer documents, even leading back to then, they even confirmed that it came from Wuhan, China. I personally don't think it did. I think that that's what just the mainstream media is trying to tell us. I don't really believe anything that's told to me. However, I find it fascinating that they silenced people, took down their Facebook pages. Medical doctors were silenced for saying this exact same thing that was in this Pfizer document in 2019.
Well, not only that, they also had three different vaccine variants at this time that were ready for human testing. And if you know anything about vaccine testing, you know that that's not normal at all. You don't start with human testing. You don't start with even preparing for human testing. You start with animal testing.
Yes. And it even says here that all candidates are formulated in the same lipid nanoparticle composition. Now, Karen Kingston talks about this. That mRNA cannot penetrate without the lipid nanoparticle. It needs to have it. They also told her she was crazy for saying that. But it's right here in this Pfizer document. This study is intended to investigate the safety and efficacy of these prophylactic BN-162 vaccines against COVID-19. So basically, they need the lipid nanoparticle in order to deliver the mRNA technology. Man, Karen Kingston was slandered for saying this. Oh. And it's right here. This is wild. Okay, so go on, Kirsten. So they had three different mRNA yes. vaccines.
So actually, this study, this preparation for the study, was published in its full form November of 2020. There were some revisions, some changes. It went through a lot of amendments to get here. And they didn't let people know that it was originally drafted in 2019. But if you go to that November 2020 document, you'll find that they actually didn't test the third variant of the vaccine. And if I did some research on it, I looked up the number, and I believe that it is the fifth COVID booster that they're using. So I don't know if it was tested or not. I don't know.
So that third mRNA was not tested for humans, but was given as a COVID fifth booster.
From what I understand.
Yes. And now it was well known that that booster or that shot was never used in human trials. It was tested on rats. Yeah. So like 12 mice, and I think 8 of them died. And then they still put it in a booster shot and delivered it to the public. So they were using, so they were testing 3 different mRNA vaccines, and they ended up using them. We were the experiment because there was 3 different ones. People got them at 3 different times, and one of them ended up being the booster. So if the first rounds, you know, they didn't work, as everybody knows, the vaccine did not work. Gene editing technology, I am so sorry, I keep calling it a vaccine. The death shot didn't work. So what they did was they moved on to the next one, and then they moved on to the next one. It also makes sense because different lot numbers, Dr. Jane Ruby covered this, different lot numbers have different rates of adverse reactions. So some of them have severe adverse reactions, some have none at all. So there's cases where some people maybe got a placebo, other ones got this mRNA version part 2, or they got the part 1, and this is extraordinary. I find it very interesting that every single one was different. So they had different variants, different kinds, and they were planning to run this experiment in 2019. They said, okay, we're going to start experimenting with the human population.
Without even knowing, according to them, what the virus even was. Like, it was a new virus. They hadn't been able to study it yet. And they're like, oh, yeah, we have vaccines for it. Trust us, guys.
Yeah, it's true. We're not experts in this, but we do have a lot of experts that watch this show. So this is kind of a call to action. If somebody could please take a look at this document and contact me if they see something that we need to cover here on the Stu Peters Show, we'd love to have you. Please go and shoot me an email at lauren@stupeters.com. That's lauren@stupeters.com. You can go through this in the description below. You can find the link to this document. Very interesting. There is a part about informed consent in this.
And I believe a lot of that was taken out in the 2020 version about informed consent. It's a bit confusing. The main part of informed consent in the 2020 document is concerning parents if their child is being tested. But in this one is informed consent across the board for everyone. So that was just something interesting that I noted. I'm not sure how much significance that has.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that was one of the biggest crimes against humanity. Nobody had any informed consent. It was take this or lose your job. Mm-hmm. So they had this document. Okay. So it was amended in 2020, in June of 2020. Mm-hmm. As everybody knows, the vaccine didn't really start rolling out till December, January, 2019, 2020. So this was during the trials. However, I find it fascinating that we have proof right here that as far back as 2019, they were experimenting 3 different mRNA technologies to run on the human populace. One of them wasn't used right away. It was saved to be the fifth booster. So if you have any information on this, if you read through this, take it, use it. It is for you to please use and share and study. And we will absolutely love to have you on the Stu Peters Show. Kirsten, we appreciate you sharing what you know about this. This was a great find. We have lots of whistleblowers on the show. We are not able to always release the identities or possibly dox people who give us information, but we had to cover this because as soon as we got it, we knew we needed to make it available to the public. So Stu Crew, do your thing. Check the link in the description below and let us know what you think in the comment section. Thank you, Kirsten, and God bless you all.
Do you love carbs as much as we do? If so, check this out. We found this really cool science trick that helps you to eat all of the carbs without gaining all of the weight. We're not kidding. It works for pasta and pizza and sandwiches and potatoes. I'm starting to get hungry. We actually learned about this trick from a doctor, but it's very easy. He called it the ultimate fat cheat, so we thought we would spread the word. Go to thehealthyfat.com/stew. Again, thehealthyfat.com/stew. P.S. If you're curious as to how it works, there's a full scientific explanation. It's pretty fascinating. Go to thehealthyfat.com/stew. Speaking of migraine headaches, if you do suffer with them, might you try CBD from Curable, K-U-R-I-B-L. Curable.com is my CBD company. There's all kinds of things that you can treat with CBD. Just go to the internet, the web of things, and take a look around. I'm telling you, migraine headaches and allergies, ADHD and Parkinson's, joint pain and muscle pain, ligament pain, all of these things, try CBD, plus anxiety and stress. If you're dealing with those things, try the tinctures from Curable.com. You'll get 20% off site-wide if you use the promo code STEW at Curable, K-U-R-I-B-L.com. 20% off using promo code STEW at Curable.com.
The boosters are killing millions.
Not a vaccine sensitivity.
A vaccine holocaust has begun.
We are seeing right now the highest death rates we have ever seen in the history of this business.
The vaccinated have chronic COVID.
Hey, folks, guess you heard. This morning I tested positive for COVID. But I've been double vaccinated, double boosted.
They're drowning in bioweapon sludge, and gay people are taking doggy style to the extreme. But a generation of patriots are standing back and standing by. Christopher Key is leading the revolution.
Good morning, America!
Temple. That's why they're poisonous with the water, the food, the supplements.
Confronting corrupt corporations through peaceful protest and righteous resistance. Visit vaccine-police.com to stay informed on pure blood survival and products to keep your loved ones safe. Vaccine-police.com.
Welcome back to the Stu Peters Show. We have Laura Loomer in studio today because we saw what happened earlier this week. Now, Loomer, you were at a DeSantis book signing, yeah. And I saw that you almost got arrested and the police threatened to throw you out because you were wearing Trump gear. What happened?
Yeah, well, it turns out that Ron DeSantis' free state of Florida really isn't so free after all. He came out with his book, The Courage to Be Free, which he, of course, might want to change the title of now. And he went on a series of book signings throughout the state of Florida this week. And so being a Trump supporter and given the fact that I've endorsed President Donald Trump and, you know, the worst kept secret in the state of Florida is that DeSantis is going to be primarying Trump and running against him in 2024. I had a rally, just a peaceful pro-Trump rally in front of the bookstore. Okay, we were not harassing anybody. We were not shouting anything against Ron DeSantis. We were just waving our Trump flags and Trump gear. And then a security guard came out and said that they were instructed by Ron DeSantis' staff to make anybody who is for Trump leave. And those were his words. You can watch it. It's on video. And then we refused to leave. And they called the cops. They called the Leesburg Police Department on us. And,
all right. We're going to play a little bit of that clip right here.
And they were in that line. Would they have to be surprised?
Yes. Why? Because.
Because of what you're wearing?
Because they told me to say anybody wearing Trump has to go right now.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. Oh. Oh. During the signing.
Free speech.
During the signing.
Free speech.
Okay. I'm sorry, guys. I have to call LPD now.
That's fine.
Thank
there you go.
That's all right.
Well, the free state of Florida is not so free. Also, I heard that Ron DeSantis, I wanted to talk to you about this, Loomer, because I know you're a big First Amendment girl. Mm-hmm. Is it true that DeSantis is signing a hate speech law?
Yeah, so I actually just posted about this today on my Twitter, now that I'm back on Twitter. And Ron DeSantis is going to be supporting legislation from pro-DeSantis Republican legislators that are trying to make it a third-degree felony with a minimum prison sentence of 5 years in the state of Florida if you are caught littering, okay, with hate speech. So what is littering with hate speech? That is what they call passing out pamphlets or any kind of paper. It's not necessarily like physical littering on the ground, but passing out pamphlets to people that they think is hate speech. So what is hate speech, right? Well, I was told that when I was banned from Twitter for calling out Ilhan Omar for being pro-Sharia and exposing her for marrying her brother, that that was hate speech. But it all turned out to be true. They say that parents who go to school board meetings are guilty of hate speech. So just think about this. If you live in Florida, in a county like Broward, for example, that's controlled by Democrats, and you go protest a drag queen story hour where they're trying to sexually indoctrinate kids, and you pass out a piece of paper exposing pedophilia, you could be charged with a hate crime under Florida law if DeSantis signs this legislation, and go to jail for 5 years.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope. What you designate as hate speech will eventually evolve. As society evolves, culture evolves, it gets worse and worse. You know, it would have been unacceptable 5 years ago to take somebody's bank account. Well, here we are. You've had bank accounts shut down. You've had PayPal shut down. You can't even use Uber. It's a slippery slope. If you enable the federal government or the state governments or just any government to take away your speech, you give them an inch, they will take the whole thing, and you can bank on that. And it is very dangerous. And, you know, I find it very disappointing that Ron DeSantis is even considering support of this for the sake of, quote unquote, anti-Semitism running rampant. You know, even still, people are.
But it's not just going to apply to what they call anti-Semitism. And look, as a Jewish woman and a free speech absolutist, I am opposed to this legislation, right? I was at the DeSantis, outside of the DeSantis book signing the other day, and they had this group, I guess it's called the Goyim Defense League, okay? And these individuals were actually passing out leaflets where they were, you know, talking about things like Jewish power and whatever. And they started shouting at me, go back to Israel. And I said, you know, I don't like the things that you're saying to me. I'm a free speech absolutist, but you have a First Amendment right to be here. And that's just, that's America, right? It doesn't matter how offensive somebody's speech may be. They have a First Amendment right to say whatever they want, even if it is, you know, quote unquote, anti-Semitic, even if it is racist, even if it is hateful. And the Supreme Court has already ruled on the fact that there's no such thing as hate speech in our country. It's called being a grown-up, okay? It's called ignoring something. I don't know. Maybe if you don't like something, ignore it. Look the other way. Don't try to put people in jail for 5 years just because you disagree with their speech.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, slippery slope. This is very dangerous, and we have to hold the line to protect our speech. You know, you give them just a little bit, and in 5 years, we've seen, you know, gay marriage pass. Now they're chemically castrating children against parental consent. You know, they will take the whole thing. So, folks, hold the line. Make sure you follow Laura Loomer. You can find her on Twitter and her work. I believe you just launched a new show on Rumble. Make sure you follow her there. Like and subscribe and continue to support her work. She is a good friend of the Stu Peters Show, and we are so grateful to have her on today. Loomer, thank you very much. And great work out there. Keep up the fight.
Yeah, thanks. You too.